You know the only thing that could make this day, this week, this life better? A federal election. that's all I need to put the cream on top of this.
That's my favourite thing about Australia is we're like, hurry up and call an election. Hurry up, call the election. We're one day in. We're like, when can we stop the election?
Yeah.
Make it end.
And it's like, you know, make sure it's away from any public holidays. Don't be stuffing me around with your elections. Oh, God, yesterday, I'm sure you've all seen it. Anthony Albanese was asked a question. I mean, who cares whether he knows the answer to the unemployment rate and the cash rate, right? I don't know.
Well, the media care. The media it's all care. Over the place.
And, well, look, let's just listen to the car crash first.
National unemployment rate at the moment is, I think it's 5.4. I'm not sure what it is.
Now, watching that, I put into Teams and producer Tim, Tim Lord is producing Tim at the moment. How incredible. We both felt exactly the same thing, that in that moment, you watch someone go, I think I've just blown it. I think I've just blown it.
It's sort of sad that that's what elections hinge on.
Yes.
Isn't it? I'd just love them to start asking relevant questions.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Like, that's a dumb question. I actually don't care if he knows the answer or not. And I don't care if it was ScoMo or Albo. No. I don't care. Start asking questions that we actually care about.
Well, you said this morning, Casey, it's like you don't care whether they can win millionaire hot seat.
No, it's
you
not
want them to be good
quiz.
Leaders with, yeah. with a vision for the future.
Right. Yeah. Right. The unfortunate thing is, I mean, that's the sort of question that they feel lost Howard the election, gave it to Rudd back in 2007.
Well, shame on us, man.
I know, shame on 100%.
If that's how we vote people
completely
in,
agree.
Shame on us.
But hey, not all's lost because Albo did apologise.
Earlier today, I made a mistake. I'm human. But when I make a mistake, I'll fess up to it and I'll set about correcting that mistake. I won't blame someone else. I'll accept responsibility.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, but I mean, that audio is fine. Can we hear the gaff again? Let's hear the gaff again.
National unemployment rate at the moment is, I think it's 5.4. I'm not sure what it is.
Like does Mal Meninga all over
does
again.
Does it sound better when you play it with the thinking music that we get when we play Faith?
I'll ask the question. Mr. Albanese, are you ready for all this?
Yeah, I'm ready for all of this, yeah.
Mr. Okay. Albanese, what's the current employment rate?
Unemployment. National unemployment rate at the moment is, I think it's 5.4. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does sound better.
100% it does sound better.
I tell you what.
Makes everything sound better.
If I was advising him, yeah. I would tell him to do what we tend to do, and I'm not saying that what we do is as important as running the country at all, but when we stuff up, we tell the audience and we have a laugh about it.
Yeah.
And we go,
that's how it works.
That's the way it works. And I think that's probably the direction that he should have gone in.
But, you know, it is rough. It did feel like day one of your job or like day one in the seat and you're like, let's go. And then you make your big stuff up.
Your first day.
You like to hope it's out of the way, though.
On your first day.
I mean, I've told you guys this story before. One of my favourite first day stories is my friend working at a chicken establishment, a place where they sell hot chooks.
Right.
And not putting the bolt properly on the rotisseries. And so when she opened the door, about 11 chickens just slid across the floor. And they just told her to hand her uniform back.
Oh. So worst first days ever. Renee in Balga, give us yours. G'day.
Oh, well, I feel just as stupid as that, honestly. It was my first day in a new school. And it's always hot, you know, February and bunch of new kids. I'm trying to be cool. Well, first uncool thing was the aircon wasn't working, which is, you know, typical in schools. And to make it worse, the door handle fell off in my hand and I couldn't think how to get out of the room. And, you know, a mobile phone, did I think to use that to call anyone to get some help? I just stood there, tears streaming down my face in front of the kids. So, yeah, I didn't look very cool. Didn't feel very smart. Just didn't think to use my common sense, really. But it was a pretty crappy first day.
Oh, Renee, that's
rough.
Awful.
And kids are relentless.
Oh, no.
What's happening? Miss, why are you finding this?
Oh, you know, I remember kids when I was a teacher, a high school teacher, I remember kids when I was relief teaching in maths class. I'm a drama teacher, drama and media. And the kids said to me, I said, I don't know how to do this problem. And I said, why don't we all work it out together on the board? And they went, Miss, this is year eight maths. You should know this. And I was like, and I don't. What do you want me to do about it? I'm a drama teacher.
Who says our
teacher.
Education system's in peril?
Oh, God, they do make you want to cry.
Hey, Phyllis in Ellenbrook, tell us about your first day.
I went from working in a bank to working at reception at a school, and I had I didn't know the computer system at all, and I was entering students, and then this message came up, and it said, "Do you want to delete this entry?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, that I do because that's wrong," and I actually deleted the student from the system.
Oh, wow.
Well, all of their records, like everything.
Yes, all their records, all their reports, all their like medical information, their parents' stuff, everything, deleted everything.
Wow, that's a pretty solid effort.
I wonder
on the
if
first
that student
day,
then
Phyllis.
Started to like go invisible.
Some students would be like, "This is a start over. I'm happy with this choice." Pete, Matt, and Kimber. Oh man, I had an injury on the first day of holidays. The first day.
What happened?
I hadn't even gotten dressed for the day. I was still in my PJs.
Keep talking.
And I stepped out into the back garden and I was just taking in some fresh air. Oh. And I picked up a ceramic pot that had got plants in it. And it had a bit of dirt on it. And I just thought, just use my hand to brush some of that dirt off.
Mm.
Gave it a little brush with my hand. However, what happened is that little bit of dirt that was there also was next to a bit of, I guess, chipped ceramic of the pot. And when I gave it the brush, I sent a shard of ceramic into my thumb that was so perfectly sharp and so perfectly like a beautiful triangle. So sharp on all edges and all points directly into my thumb. And it went in a very long way and such a perfect cut. I mean, it was such a perfect slice that it was impressive.
Yeah.
Except I realised that this piece of ceramic was now stuck inside my hand and didn't want to come out.
No.
And it was so deep. And it was one of those things where I was like, man, your thumb bleeds. It bleeds.
Mm. Yeah, it does.
It was just...
Fingers and head.
It looked like a Monty Python clip. There was just blood coming out everywhere. And I ran to the sink and I was in the kitchen just running water because it was the only way I could get a look at what was happening in there was to try and keep the blood running, right? And so eventually see what's going on in there by pressing on my skin. I can see this piece of ceramic stuck in there so deep. The only thing I could think of was, oh, I'll just get some tweezers and I'll tweeze it out. But the problem is that when you tweeze it out, like the shard was such a perfect cut. There was no room either side of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's gone in flat like a blade.
Yeah.
And so when you go digging around with tweezers, you've actually got to like break open more skin to get in there.
Doesn't that just start to, the use of the word digging,
well, you
digging
have to.
Around, doesn't that just start to conjure up all the fun images?
And this is the thing is there was no option. I was like, and it was so painful. If I don't get this out, it's going to get infected or whatever. And so I dug around with tweezers, but the most disgusting part of all of this was that when you put the tweezers in, when I finally got them in and I was like, oh, I think that's the piece, and I squeezed down to pull it out, I realised that the bottom part of the tweezers was underneath the piece of ceramic. Perfect.
Yeah.
But the top bit of the tweezers was actually on my skin.
Flesh.
So when I pulled it, it was just bringing out a bit of both, but you hear the crunching sound of the ceramic and the tweezers.
I can feel it.
Like a grinding bone.
Yeah,
you know that
belly?
No kidding. I reckon I was about 40 minutes in the sink trying to tweeze this thing out of my body, and it was excruciating. I got it out, but I've taken a gouge out of my thumb, and I'm still in recovery, and I think I can still feel a bit in it.
Hey, lesson there.
I don't think I
never
got it
go
out.
Outside again.
No, and it
never
was like
go
the first thing, first day of holidays, so I just thought, what have you had to tweeze out of your body? Because it's the tweezing feeling. It's like, oh, have you ever tried to get an ingrown hair?
Look, this, and this shout out to teenagers, because I used to get, this is, you know, apologies, but I used to get blackheads in my ears.
I remember can't even see them.
My mum digging in there with the tweezers to try and just the pain. I don't think she ever achieved getting one out. But I had these inflamed, puffy inner ears because of my mum digging around with tweezers trying to relieve my teenage blackheads.
There's no better tool, though. Like, yeah, the tweezers are the best tool. My ex-boyfriend used them to pull ticks out of my body and found out afterwards you weren't meant to do
ticks?
That. Yeah.
I know that story. I know that one. That's a beauty, too.
You're not meant to do it. Don't use tweezers to pull ticks out.
No,
it separates their heads.
Yeah.
Nico and Clarkson, what have you tweezed?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Beautiful morning in Perth.
Yeah.
Magic, mate.
What did you have to tweeze, Nico?
Oh, my goodness. Out with mates, having a few beers on the boat, a bit of fishing.
Yeah.
And got a nice big fish on the line, and the line snapped. So I had to rig a new hook. So I put this hook into between my teeth rig up a nice knot.
Yes,
which is normal. We do this every day after a few beers. It's becoming more and more easy.
I bet it is. Yeah, go on.
For some reason, one of the mates made a sudden movement on the boat and a bit of a slip from my end. And the next moment, this hook is in behind my teeth, into my gums.
Oh, behind your teeth.
I'm getting shivers now because I'm going through the emotions you went through when I heard the tweezers behind the charismatic and above your skin. I was like, oh my goodness me, this is just bringing back memories.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
So we three men on a boat with this hook behind my teeth into my gums, and it's got a returning hook, so you can't just pull this thing out.
Oh.
So we managed to take the thongs of using to get the hooks out of the fish's mouth, because yes, that's the only tool we've got on this boat. And it's a lot of blood. As you know, gums do bleed a lot.
Yeah.
So just blood everywhere, a rocking boat on the ocean, and these guys finally made like a crunching sound to wiggle this out of my gums.
Oh, Nico, wow.
felt like somebody's put a shark on the boat and it's bit me in my face. Oh. It's just blood everywhere.
Oh, my God. Oh. They literally grinded off part of your tooth to get it out,
Gee
it sounds
whiz.
Like.
Yuck.
Nico, I hope once they got the hook out, they put you back in and let you go.
I was okay. A sip of beer, we're back on the boat.
Ah, you're right.
There you go. A beer stops the blood.
So we have this election, obviously, on the 21st of May, and look, we all realise that there are many peoples around the world who put their lives on the line to enjoy the privilege and the right to cast a vote that means something. And whatever you think of our system, you know, it does work. My vote will count in whatever way it counts, right? Mm-hmm. It should be an honour to be able to do that sort of thing. And certainly in my 20s and 30s, I was a very political animal. I was quite virile about my politics.
Right.
But somehow, as I've approached my middle age spread, I just don't care so much anymore.
Because you're completely disenfranchised.
And because I know too much.
Yeah. But the more you know, the more you're like, oh, well, like, when we're voting based on who do we think is the least evil beast.
Yeah.
That's not voting for the best person, is it? We're not voting for the best party. We're just voting for who we think is the lesser of the evils.
I mean, even for them to come out. And like Scott Morrison, didn't he say the other day when he announced the election, he's gone, well, better the devil you know, essentially.
Yeah, like that's part of their advertising campaign.
And you know what's so alarming is that I was watching an ad for a political party called the United Australia Party the other day, and I thought, gee, I think I'm starting to agree with this.
Mate, open book. You could go in any direction right now.
God. So I don't know what happened to me. As I say, in my younger days, I was up for the fight. I thought it was really, really important. But somehow, as I've gotten older, I've lost the fire in my belly.
Are you all of a sudden feeling jaded?
I am.
Tired? Having trouble getting up?
Yeah.
Are you saying things like,
I just don't feel like doing it?
Are you making excuses like,
This isn't me. I mean, this has never happened before.
Is it affecting your passion, your performance? Is it damaging your relationship?
I guess so.
If you answered yes, then you may be suffering from a condition known as electoral dysfunction.
Oh my God.
But don't worry, there is help.
Whew.
Many men of your age are affected by Electoral dysfunction.
Is there a cure?
But there is a cure.
Thank God.
From now until the 21st of May, whenever anyone comes on the telly to tell you about this really big election, just start going, la 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 la. Until they're off the telly. Don't suffer in silence. Electoral dysfunction is real, and help is out there. Advice for the treatment of electoral dysfunction are general only. If electoral dysfunction persists, please go to North Korea.
Oh, amazing.
So there's help.
There is help.
There's help, yeah.
Everybody on three. One, two, three.
La, 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 la.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Matty, you are struggling, sir. You're struggling.
Yes, I know.
In the points.
This game, yeah. Across the board, really. Let's be honest with each other, buddy.
Kimbo, 9 points. You're having a blinder. Matt, 3 points.
Yeah.
Still plenty of time to come back. Still plenty of time.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got a smile on your face for
me. I'm ready.
Cheeky smile on your face.
I'm just smiling. Why not?
All right.
Winners are grinners.
All right, here we go.
Thousands and thousands of West Germans come to make the point that the wall has suddenly become irrelevant.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning.
We're about to complete a great quest. The Holy Grail, Dr. Jones.
Whenever I hear that the songs from that particular Billy Joel album, I'm reminded of Santo Chilaro doing a parody of Billy Joel.
Oh, yes.
For that album where he went, I don't know why I'm singing so high, but it worked really well on an innocent man. Which is very funny. Now,
I mean, the first grab there, the first grab, the wall being irrelevant. So much so, I don't know what it's about.
Well, that's Glasnosti time. So the wall, you know,
what's Glasnosti?
Glasnost was the time when Mikhail Gorbachev, the Russian leader at the time, went, we've got to end this. We've got to go. We've got to join the world again.
Right. Okay.
So we're talking 89-90.
Matt's
for me.
History and geography is so astoundingly
extraordinary.
Good. He's really into it.
Yeah, but I always get it wrong.
Look, what's the unemployment rate, though?
5 point... no, I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't have anything to base this on because I don't even know what that last bit of audio was. I was thinking maybe Raiders of Lost Ark or something I haven't seen.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm basing this on our mate Dan Vandermeer, Dan the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basing it on how long I think he's been complaining about Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yes.
So I'm going for 1992.
Okay.
All right, I'll go 91, but it could be earlier than that, maybe 89.
It was 89.
Yeah.
It was 1989. Oh. It was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and the fall of the Berlin Wall was in there as well. All right, here is your second grab.
I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating, so want the real Slim Shady.
1.4 million free downloads of Metallica's music. Napster hijacked our music without asking.
Wilson! I'm sorry! I'm sorry, Wilson!
Wilson!
Oh, God.
All right, we're going back. We're going back in time. Okay. That would have been... 92. Okay.
Walk me through it.
Okay, well... I mean, look, Eminem, I don't know, it's tough. And Napster, I forgot all about it. But Wilson, I'm thinking, my 21st birthday, I had a movie-themed birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And a good friend of mine, Paul, came dressed as old mate from Castaway and bought a basketball, bought Wilson like a ball with him.
Okay, yeah,
volleyball with him. And so I'm thinking I was 21 in the year 2001, so I'm going to go the year 2000.
Bang on.
I'll go 2001.
Oh, wow. Walking a fine line here. It was the year 2000, Kimbo.
Well done.
Yes!
Well done.
We are tied.
That's the only way. You got to rely on your memories.
Yeah, well done. Here is the final one to split the difference. Let's go.
Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 had crashed in a Ukrainian field, killing everyone on board.
I'm so fancy, you already know.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Well.
There's some of these that you know you should know.
The Ukrainian air, the Malaysian airline, I'm going to go 2014 because that was the first installment of the Russian invasion when the two eastern provinces were... taken over by rebel forces, inverted commas, and I think that happened around 2014.
Okay.
I was going to go later.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, you still can. I mean, it's totally up
well,
to
that's,
you.
Well, it's been going on ever since then, so I could well be wrong. I just know that's when it all started.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about the Lego song and how long ago did Lego come. Look,
I think you're right. I think it is later.
I don't know. I'll have to go 2015.
Oh, gee, that really stuffs me out, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, now I'm starting to think I should have thought a bit more.
Because,
and stop being
and
a
the
smart
MH17 Alec. Stuff, you know, we had specials lately, right? Where they were like this many years ago, and I feel like I should know.
And I feel like the Lego movie came out since I started here, which was 2016. Anyway, I've made my bed, so I'll lay in it.
You think $700 is too much to spend on a Star Wars Lego destroyer, by the way?
Not when it's Lego. Lego's so expensive.
Okay. Because I am looking at one.
It's crazy expensive. It was like $400 and something to get the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Oh, yeah, it was too. Well, I mean, this thing started at $1,100. I'm slowly whittling this guy down.
Yeah, good on you.
Facebook Marketplace.
Oh. Yeah, keep working on it.
So you're going to hang on to 2014 or are you going to change?
What did you go?
2015.
Oh, well, I'm stuffed. Yeah, I'll go 2016.
I really hope that it's not, and then you've blown.
Well,
it.
My dad, the gambler, the failed gambler, always said, "Never change your bet."
Okay, so 2016.
No, I'm gonna stick with 2014, just to prove that I'm a good person.
Okay, good.
It will change the way he plays for the rest of the year.
Your father was a smart man because it was 2014. Matty, with the points on the board, buddy!
Yes!
It would have been so much more entertaining if he had changed, though.
All right, put a point up for Matty. There we go.
There
Matty
it goes.
To four.
Well done, Matty.
Could this be the big comeback? Could it be?
It's not.
Yeah, okay. It's good managing expectations. I like it.
Japanese is one of my favourite cuisines, which is sort of surprising because I'm vegetarian, so it limits me quite a lot from eating a lot of what you would consider Japanese cuisine to be. Essentially, I just like rice, maybe.
You would be a very cheap date at the sushi train.
A sushi train.
Yeah, I love a sushi train, but you would have all of the
light blue plates.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm eating the tofu and the rice and the seaweed, and that's about it.
Yeah, perfect.
But there's good reason for that, because I've seen this video that's gone viral of someone tucking into their Japanese meal. Now, what they've done is they've just ordered some fish with some salad, and it's been delivered on a plate, and they're ready to go. And then just for a moment, they decide, wouldn't this be a great idea if I just lightly poke near the fish's mouth with my chopstick to see what happens? And I'm trying to show you. I've got the video here, guys. I'm afraid it is video and I can't show you on air. But it's basically, look, she stabs the sushi with the chopstick.
Yeah. Well, it's not sushi. It's a whole fish.
It's a fish.
It is a whole, look at its
mouth. It opens its mouth and it eats the chopstick.
Is it alive?
Well, no, it's dead.
Are you sure it's dead?
It's dead.
It looks alive.
No, it's dead. It's doing one of those things where I guess like the muscle memory, like a chicken, for example, where it keeps going.
Or a breakfast radio announcer. Doing everything on instinct.
So this video's gone viral because that fish eats the chopstick. I mean, it opens its mouth wide.
Yes.
It's even got teeth. I don't know what type of fish that is. It looks like I can't even see
its
eyes.
Is that really handy though? Because it just hangs onto the chopstick and then you can eat it like a popsicle. I mean, I'm trying to, silver linings and all that.
Like, would you still eat your meal? You're sitting there like that. I mean, I'm even freaked out. You know when you get the Japanese pancake,
onomiyaki,
whatever it is, delicious, and they put those little flakes on the top, because they look like
they wiggle.
They look like they're
that
moving.
Freaks you out.
Yeah, because they're
gold.
Like fish flakes, right? Like they're going like this on the food. Like I don't
they're
like
dancing.
To see my food moving.
No. I mean, I don't like to be reminded that something was once alive by it being alive on my plate.
Would you still? Because how do you open? See, looking at that thing now. If that thing on your plate, that fish has started eating your chopstick, it did open its mouth and stretched out for the chopstick, how do you then eat that thing?
I'd eat it.
Yeah.
How are you going to cut it, though?
With a knife.
Like you'd just go knife and fork straight through.
Well, I you know, by that stage, I've pulled it off the sushi train and you can't put it back on the sushi train and I don't want to waste the money. So,
and I know that I'm ordering a bottle of sake at that point.
I'm going to put this video up on our socials because it is the creepiest thing
That's wild.
I've ever seen. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Today's day five, which is meant to be peak day for the recovery period of tonsillectomy.
Okay.
So my daughter Mila went in for a tonsillectomy last week while we were all on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a fun way to spend the holidays.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And now she's on school holidays and recovering from such. And I mentioned yesterday on the show that she's a very clever kid. Very clever. For a five-year-old, like, you know, the things that she comes out with, her just take on the world, clever kid. I know parents say that, but the thing about Mila is she's incredibly discerning. So she knows she's recovering from a tonsillectomy. Okay. She knows she doesn't want to take any sort of medicine at the moment. I don't know why she doesn't. She's scared for some reason she doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is suspicious of absolutely everything.
And we're talking pain relief.
Pain relief, right? So she's sitting there. Actually, in particular, last 3 days, she can't lift her head up.
Yeah.
So she's walking around with her chin tucked into her chest like this. And say to her, honey, you're in pain. I'm not in pain. I'm not in pain. I'm fine. I'm not in pain. So she knows. Anyway, yesterday I asked for some creative suggestions about how to get her to take some of this pain relief.
And you knew today was a big day because you said day five, apparently, the worst day. I made the mistake of looking up why day five is the worst day.
Oh, with pictures?
Well, no, just the description was gross enough.
Oh, please give me the description. What's because the description say there?
Between days 5 and 10 after surgery, the tonsillectomy scabs fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it hurts.
And that's why they say, like, you know, forget the ice cream and the icy poles and the blah, blah, blah. Actually, you should be eating toast.
Work
you should be
through.
Eating crunchy things. Like, get it to scrape the scab.
It's like a day five test cricket wicket.
Yeah.
Right. But these were the suggestions that came from Mixed Fam yesterday.
We decorated syringes, like, with her, and we called it magic juice.
We found that putting it in some nice, cool, you know, yogurt sachet, giving it a good mix around and handing that to him really helped, and also a hand puppet.
You can actually buy the liquid zoopers and put the medication in it and then freeze them.
Okay, all good advice.
Tried all three wonderful suggestions.
No.
Not one. Not one.
Was Mila listening yesterday?
Maybe. I don't know. But so this is what I did instead. I said she was sitting on the couch. I went and got a couple of the chewy tablets that she could have. I went and popped them in her hand. So I was like, okay, here you go. There. I'm not going to tell you to take them, honey. I'm not going to tell you to take them. But the hospital is going to call in the next 15 minutes to see whether or not you've taken your...
Brilliant.
Anyway, sure enough, hospital calls. Hello? Yeah? Yes. No, I'm just looking at her right now. She hasn't taken them. We're just going to have to wait until... Yeah. No, sure. I'll collect her. I'll put her in the car. I'll bring her back to the hospital. At that point, bang, freaked out. In they go. Chew, knocked them back.
Well done.
And we have success, people. I know it's a scare tactic.
Well done.
I don't know if I'm meant to be applauding that. Really?
Yes.
At the end of the day. She doesn't want to take painkillers. Why are we forcing her?
Because she is in pain and she's fine.
But she's fine and she wants to be tough about it.
She's not fine. She's not fine, mate. And she needs it. Look, at the end of the day... Not only is she dealing with her body, her choice, Pete. No. At 5 years old, daddy knows a little bit better than you do.
Oh.
Now, got them down. But at the end of the day, like, she's in the middle of the pain. Mm. She's having these crazy hot flushes where she's, you know, she woke up in the middle of the night. Liz has been sleeping with her at the moment. She woke up in the middle of the night, sat bolt upright and yelled that she doesn't know how to sit upright and then went back to sleep. At 20 to 7 this morning, my wife sent me a text message going, she's rolling back and forth in the bed and she just said, I got 20 points and then rolled back over. Like the
she's
kid
delirious.
Is delirious, Kimber. She needs the medicine.
And what Pete hasn't told you is that phone call was actually from the Cayman Islands saying, we've got some money for you. Just give me your account. Pete, Matt, and Kimber.